Hi everyone, Reverend David here. Just a couple of things to mention as you listen to the service today. There was a couple of recording issues which impacted a couple of the songs, the hymns that we sang, including the first two verses of And Can It Be? And so what I've done is that I've inserted the first two verses being sung and have sourced that from the National Baptist Association Big Sing from the UK. And which is freely available. That's a free to use, and I've got permission to use that. So I've got them singing the first two verses, and later in the service we sing the another two verses, and both Rosemary and Glenda, as usual, leading us in that. Also another hymn later on where there's just one verse sung. There was a bit of feedback during the first verse, so I've just cut that out. So a couple of words of explanation there. God bless. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Good to see you this morning, and welcome as we gather amongst God's people and this place in the worship of God. Welcome to those of you who are in the room this morning. Welcome to those who will watch or listen at a different time. From Psalm 95, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Come, let us bow down and worship and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Come, let us worship. We stand to sing. Come, now is the time to worship. Please be seated. We share in Psalm 46, which is Psalm for today, and we'll do this responsively. I'll begin, and if you can follow with the words that are in the bolder type there that aren't quite so much in purple. Okay. Again, apologise for the quality of the picture up there. We'll work on that again this week to try and resolve that. We continue in worship in the praise of God with these words from Psalm 48. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Amen. Wendy, could you just go back to the first page of that psalm, please? Some of you might recall many years ago that there was a number of miners in Chile who were trapped down in a mine, and they took 2 or 3 weeks to get to them. They had to actually drill down another part into it. One of the things that we discovered from that is that this psalm became really important to them. There are a number of them that were Christian people, a part of that, and one of them talked about how they said the words of this psalm, God is our refuge and strength, and ever, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea and the mountains quake. Indeed, that's what had happened to them. And they drew great comfort from this psalm of God being their refuge as they waited for rescue. Let us pray. Lord our God, we have sung of your praise, we have said of your praise in that psalm, to acknowledge that you are indeed our refuge, one to whom we run and come under the shelter of your wings. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful. Lord, as we do that, we do so with the confidence, especially in those times when we have fallen down, when we have fallen short of what you have asked of us, when we have run the other way rather than into your everlasting arms. We thank you for the refuge that we find in the cross of Christ. And we pray once again that we will know of your mercy and of your grace to us. Help us, O Lord, as we turn to you to hear your words, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that as we turn to you and to hear the words of Christ, to go and sin no more, please give us the strength to be able to do that. We thank you that through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we're able to know your forgiveness, your mercy, your words of renewal, of a new beginning. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen. We share in a word of peace as forgiven people. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. Oh, we're going to sing this morning, And Can It Be? We're going to sing four verses of that, the first two now, and verses 3 and 4 as our final hymn or song after communion this morning. And particularly those last two verses, hopefully you'll recognise the connection with the gospel reading as we get to them towards the end of the service. But we stand and sing verses 1 and 2 of this great Charles Wesley hymn, And Can It Be? A hymn that he wrote very early on in his, as grace is reawakened within him, and he cannot believe the love and the mercy that is extended to him. We stand to sing.
Good morning, everyone. As is listed on your briefing notes, we've got coffee and chat on Wednesday with David. Both the men's and the women's lunches are this week. We have a church council meeting on the 17th of June starting at 9 a.m. Please, if you have a Facebook account, please track down both the church Facebook page and the Artburst 2026 sort of has an offshoot of that page as well. So that keeps you up to date with what's happening. The web page has been, the church Facebook page has had a lot of interesting stuff coming through. So it's well worth your while if you are on Facebook to have a look at that. Grazing in the Gully, we're looking at perhaps trying to make stronger links throughout our community, and Brisbane West, which is the old Moggle and Mount Crosby churches, they do Grazing in the Gully, which is just a very relaxing, fun Friday night outside. They promise to have warmers this from this point forward, but that's an interesting Friday night if you you wanted to look at that. With reaching out, we have the Women's Refuge still going. Artburst, there's an article in Reflections, but there's also a really good article by the wonderful penman in our midst, Dawn, has written a beautiful article If you cannot get to the shops to pick up a copy of the local bulletin, I snaffled a few yesterday. So there are three at the back if you don't get to a shopping centre that distributes the local bulletin. Treasury vacancy. And I'll leave my desk now. Oh, sorry. Ikebana exhibition is next weekend. It also has a pottery competition attached to it. And we thought, we might get maybe 20 people enter. So we have had 40 people enter pots that they have made that they believe are suitable for Ikebana. So now we have a huge problem with how do we display all of those beautiful, because some of the containers are stunning. It's been after church on Sunday. Thank you.
Excellent. Very good. Thanks, Wendy. So next Sunday. And also, please check out the website with the Art Burst. There's been a fair bit done with that, and it's really worthwhile to see that, which is excellent. So just a few things within that continues our community together. Mentioned last Sunday about the painting here that Marion's done. Now, Marion, did we say that you'd say a few things about that? I think we did, didn't we? So do you want to come and do that? Because I just want to check. There's a video I want to play, and I want to check that the things are connected there. So while you're doing that, that would be good. So you want to come and speak to that here. Here's Marion. She's going to talk about this painting that she did for Trinity Sunday last Sunday. Of course, every Sunday is Trinity Sunday, as is Pentecost. So where are you going, Marion?
You
might just need to put that down a bit there.
Thank you. Hi. The theme for this year's Visionaries Art Exhibition is Light for the World and Living Water. Daunting topics, both of them, when it comes to approaching a white canvas. It seemed appropriate to use a traditional method called Visio Divina, which is the practice involving meditation on art to facilitate a conversation with God. This painting is one of two that are the result of this practice. In this painting, my intention was to capture a sense of flow in the painting, to represent the Holy Spirit as light for the world. I've used symbols to represent the Holy Spirit moving in and around the world. Central to the composition is the Trinity figure or symbol, taken from the Celtic triquetra or Trinity knot, an ancient symbol made from a single, continuous, unbroken line interwoven into three interlaced arcs. With the beginning and no end, it represents eternity, interconnectedness, and spiritual continuity. Well, that's...
Excellent.
So thank you for letting me
Very
put
good.
It up there.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marion. Really, another point of reflection for us about the life of the Trinity. There's a few birthdays to celebrate, a couple of, both of whom are not here, Phil and Carolyn. I think they must be due back really soon, I think very soon. But Phil's birthday is tomorrow. And Molly's birthday is on Tuesday, and it's her 100th. She turns 100 on Tuesday, Molly. And that'd be great to be out there and having a little bit of time there as well with her. And there's a small gathering, Brenda, isn't it? I think, really? Yeah, out there. And so that's pretty special, turning 100. And Molly has... contributed so much and been a really vital part of the life of this congregation for many, many years. And I know that she is much loved and treasured amongst so many of you. So we'll have a prayer for Phil and for Molly. But the other birthday as well, which Wendy told me this morning, was the Refresh Shop's birthday's tomorrow. 15 years. Is that right, Wendy?
That's correct.
15 years for the Refresh Shop, and you're going to say a few things here, Wendy, before as I walk over to Marlene.
And I'll give the word to
Oh, okay. Yes, please.
This is the end that explodes. So I think we'll just go up and it anyway. We'll put it up in the air, but not yet.
Wait for it. Was involved in the early days of that, so just to share a few things, yes, and just need to talk really close to it.
Well, 15 years ago,
Andrew, we'll just do something.
15 years ago, Jean McNichol and I and Selma collected a lot of material for the shop, dishes and glassware and clothes. Selma managed to get a lot of beautiful things from a friend on the Gold Coast, which we stored in Jean's large shed and priced them, sorted them, and brought them down to our little shop in our station wagon and Jean's station wagon. And the first day it opened with Jean and I working, we took just over $400. And Jean thought, wow, this is going to be great. But she had spoken to her hairdresser, and her hairdresser's young brother was moving out of home. So her hairdresser bought a lot of stuff to set him up. But it was wonderful, and the shop has been going for 15 years. It's changed a lot, and it's become very popular, and we have some wonderful volunteers, not only from the church but from the community, and lots of those people from the community have asked, can we help in the shop? So it's been a wonderful thing. So we think of Jean McNichol because she was the star of it all.
Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for our time together in life of this community, and both in our congregation, but those strong connections that we have beyond ourselves here into the wider community. We also pause just to pray at this time for both Phil and Molly, and for Phil and Carolyn as they continue their travels and will be back with us soon. May they continue to know of your peace and your presence with them. And not sure exactly just where they are at this point of time, but Lord, just those very practical things that need to happen upon their return, that all may go smoothly for them. Pray particularly for Phil, that he may know of your blessing, particularly tomorrow. And then Molly on Tuesday, Lord, thank you so much for her and how extraordinary that she has reached 100. And pray for your particular blessing upon her. We know, Lord, that times life is a bit of a challenge for her. We thank you so much for family that gathers around her and that regular connection, and for so many within the life of this congregation that continue to have that connection with her as well. Pray for your blessing upon her, that you'll grant to her your peace and the strength that she needs at any given moment. Pray for Tuesday that may be a beautiful time together of fellowship, but also this recognition to her, and as there may be that sense of thankfulness across an extraordinary lifetime. Lord, we're so thankful for the ministry of the Refresh Shop. Thank you for Jean, Marlene, and others that in those beginnings, Heather, and many others, Lord, we are thankful for that ministry that has changed and over the years, but continues to be very a practical ministry, but also has provided this space for conversation between volunteers, between people who have just come in and sat and talked. We pray for your continued guidance and leading as we reflect upon the ministry of the Refresh Shop and that you'll continue to bless that work. Thank you so much for the volunteers, Jenny, who now coordinates it, and Lee, and many others, Lord. Thank you so much for what they offer to the wider community and indeed to our community of faith here. Continue to give us guidance and wisdom as we look to the future. In and through the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, hopefully, we'll be able to play a video here from Matt Whitaker. Matt sent just a short 30-second video for us to play this morning after his visit last week. And hopefully...
Hello there to everyone at Kenmore Uniting Church. I hope you've had an awesome week. I just wanted to say thank you so much for allowing me to join you again last Sunday for our Rescue Sunday together. And something I wanted to celebrate was the fact that last week, over $2,500 was donated directly to the work of Destiny Rescue. And now you know what that means, because $2,100 means we're able to rescue a child and get them on their pathway to freedom. So that's what you've been able to do as a church from our time together. And that takes your total impact now to over 8 children. So from us to you, can I say thank you? We're so grateful. We're so honored that you would come on this journey and continue to bring rescue and restoration to children all around the world. Would you continue to pray for them and pray for their families? And I look forward to sharing more stories over the coming year. All right, take care. God bless.
Yeah. So Matt was just very keen to send a little message to us in appreciation for the over $2,500 that came through last Sunday from folk here. So thank you. We stand to sing Break Now the Bread of Life as we prepare to hear from John chapter 8.
This morning is from John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. And everyone went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early the next morning, he went back to the temple. All the people gathered around him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught committing adultery. And they made her stand before them all. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In our law, Moses commanded that such a woman must be stoned to death. And what do you say? They said this to trap Jesus so that they could accuse him. But he bent over and wrote on the ground with his finger. As they stood there asking him questions, he straightened up and said to them, whichever one of you has committed no sin, may throw the first stone. Then he went over again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they all left, one by one, the elder ones first. Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there. He straightened up and said to her, where are they? Is there no one left to condemn you? No one, sir, she answered. Well then, Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, but do not sin again. Thanks be to God. And I'm sorry if I may just say, from the refreshed. I sadly forgot to thank our wonderful Jenny, who who has done wonderful things for our shop, and she works very, very hard, and we should all be very, very grateful to her. Sorry.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We pick up again this series of encounters with Jesus where grace is awakened. We've looked at Zacchaeus, we've looked at the thief on the cross, on Pentecost, on a little bit of the disciples. And this morning we get to this story in John's Gospel of a woman who's brought before Jesus. Brought before Jesus. So we see the scene here and that there is a crowd that's gathered around Jesus, and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees bring a woman who's been caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the crowd of people, and they posed this question to Jesus. For the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they bring her, to them she's a nobody. To them she is simply a means to trap Jesus. To the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, she is simply a tool to be used to trap Jesus. And they believe that they've got him, that they've trapped him. Because it's a pretty good trap, this. It's a very good trap. Because the law, for example, in Leviticus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 22, says that she should die. That she's been caught in the very act of adultery. And the law clearly says, and as teachers of the law, and as Jesus, who is a rabbi, and who has said that that he's come to fulfill the law, that the law will not disappear, then she should die. And so if Jesus is going to follow the law, that's he should give that condemnation. But on the other side of that, Jesus, they know, is someone who has been meeting with tax collectors and sinners. He's been meeting with the outcasts, and he's been one who's been offering forgiveness and grace and mercy. Those two things can't sit by side. For one, he will be seen as the one who's the follower of the law, which means she should die, which goes against what he's been doing. It's a brilliant trap that they've got for him. And so they say, the law of the Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? So Jesus is asked not about whether she's guilty or not. He's asked about the penalty that should be done for her. Jesus starts to write on the ground, and they kept on pestering him. Now, if you know what he wrote on the ground, please let me know, because I don't know. No one knows. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's some conjecture about that. But he does that. They keep pestering him and questioning him. Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And he stoops down and writes on the ground. The wisdom of this statement is unbelievable. And of course, this is what Jesus did. The wisdom that he has. So first of all, what he does, and of course, he's the only one there who's without sin. let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone. Of course, Jesus here, not only here, but throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus combines this compassion, this gentleness, and justice. And he combines these two things absolutely perfectly. And here's another example of that. In lots of people, those two things contradict each other, being compassionate and being one where justice comes together. But in Jesus, they complement each other. They complement each other. So what does Jesus do here? Well, first of all, he deals with the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. That is, he deals with the accusers of this woman. And he does that very bluntly. And secondly, he deals with the woman, which he does very tenderly. First of all, with the teachers of the law and Pharisees. Basically, he denies of having any validity in carrying out this execution. That's basically what he does. That's his response to them, and he shows them that. Well, and for one reason he does that is because if she is caught in adultery, they must have seen the man also, and they do not bring him. The law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy says, yes, she should die, but the law, that very same law, says that both the man and the woman need to be brought. They have not done that. Their accusation is invalid because of that. The law is very clear that both needed to be stoned to death. They needed to die, but they have not brought the man. And another reason that the law of Moses said that there needs to be a trial, and no trial has taken place. Only this public humiliation to trap Jesus. So at the very least, on two fronts, their accusation is invalid. And that's what Jesus is pointing to. You, if you want to trap me into following the law, I'm following the law, you're not. So you're not without blame here. You start throwing a stone if you think that you're in the clear here. And he's clearly saying to them that they are not, and they know it very well. They're teachers of the law. They know that both the man and the woman should be brought. They also know that there should have been a trial. That hasn't happened. Let any of you who is without sin cast the first stone. Tim Keller puts it this way. What Jesus says is the very law of Moses that you are invoking here today, you are breaking yourselves. And basically, he calls out their hypocrisy in bringing her to him. And what he says to them hits them right between the eyes, and they file out one by one, starting with the oldest. And then there's Jesus and the woman. And that's all that's left. And Jesus now deals with her. He does not deny that she is sinning. Okay, and that's, we need to acknowledge that. He doesn't deny that, because she's been caught in the act of adultery, okay? Even though the bloke's not there, she's been, okay? So he doesn't deny that. What he asks of her is a change of life and a change of heart. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. But hang on, we just said that Jesus is an upholder of the law. He's a fulfiller of the law of Moses. She is guilty. And as I said before, Jesus is the only one here that is without sin. And the law of Moses says that
well, something has to happen. She has to be accountable for what she's doing. That's what the law of Moses says. And Jesus says, well, neither do I condemn you. What's going on here? How can he possibly even say that? Well, there is no case against her because her accusers are all gone. So in a sense, there's nothing, no one is challenging her. No one's accusing her. They've all gone. Let her off the hook. He doesn't say, neither do I condemn you. It's all okay. Just go on your way. Keep living the life that you're living. He doesn't say that. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Cheap grace. We're talking about grace awakened. I just want to mention about Dietrich Bonhoeffer here, but cheap grace would end with the first part. Neither do I condemn you. And if the conversation stopped there, that's cheap grace. Neither do I condemn you. Off you go. But costly grace is adding the next bit. Go and sin no more. Jesus is saying to her, neither do I condemn you because I will be condemned for you. As he looks down the track and see what's coming for him, you are not condemned because I will be. Romans 8 verse 1 says, now there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And there are times when across life we need to hang on to that verse. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or Romans 4, Jesus justifies the ungodly. And Romans 3, a lot of us would have learnt that verse when we were younger. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we would be put right with God. Jesus is able to say, neither do I condemn you, because he has died for her, and he will die for her as he dies for us. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because Jesus has been condemned for us. And that is costly grace. The response to this moment of grace that Jesus offers to her is to live a changed life. My offer of grace to you, woman, is that I do not condemn you. The response that she is asked of her is to live a changed life. Jesus does not leave us as we are when we are confronted by his grace. It's as if Jesus says to her, woman, because of what I'm about to do for you in this world, that is, his death on a cross, because of this, you are free. Now go and live a life that bears out that forgiveness and that freedom. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So if there are times when you are feeling a bit beaten down by all kinds of things, worn down, you are free in Jesus Christ. Always come back again and again to the cross and to the resurrection of Jesus and see that I am put right, I am forgiven, I am to live a changed life in response. That's what we're going to do here. We will hear that same invitation, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. But here we are welcomed around the Lord's table very shortly, again, to hear that word to us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this about costly grace. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life and the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. Costly grace. I want to finish today with reference to Forrest Gump, the movie. People know Forrest Gump movie? It's a great movie. You know, when you just step back from it and you look at particularly connections between Forrest and Jenny and Forrest and Lieutenant Dan. Okay. And that's for another time. But just to focus on Forrest and Jenny, okay? And for those of you who haven't seen Forrest Gump, I'm not sure, but Forrest and Jenny are childhood friends, and Jenny, as she gets older, goes and lives this life of the 1960s and 1970s and gets herself into all sorts of trouble. And in fact, it ends up sort of costing her her life at the end of the movie, spoiler alert. But Jenny lives this destructive life, but always, and there's times when she comes back to Forrest, Forrest is always there. And his love for her is constant. It's always there. She realizes at some point later in the movie and later in life that Forrest is always there, and that his love and his grace has always been there despite her wild living. And there's a moment where, towards the end, where they're having this conversation, and Forrest is telling about some of the times that he was away, and there's these amazing sunsets that he was seeing. And she says to him, "Oh, I wish I was there with you." And he says, "You were." See, that's love and grace. And Jenny, you know, she gets to realize that before she dies. She gets to realize and be able to enjoy this constant love that Forrest has for her. She gets to share that. And this is grace that comes to us. For God is always constant there. There's always grace and love and mercy available to us to come back to again and again. And folks, we come to this table this morning, this meal, the Lord's Supper, and hear these words, that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And even more so, the words of Jesus, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." Jenny's going to play the communion hymn, "Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread," and our offering will be received during that. I'll say a prayer and then we share in communion, and the prayers for others are during the communion liturgy this morning. So "Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread" as our offering is received.
Do not then depart, Savior.
Our Lord God, we offer to you of our money, ourselves, our abilities, our disabilities, all that we share. We also offer to you these elements of bread and juice this morning. And as we do that, we pray for your blessing upon all that we bring this day for the furthering of your kingdom. In the name of Christ, amen. Here the Lord's table is an open table. This is the table not of the church but of the Lord. It's to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and perhaps those who have not been for some time, you who have tried to follow and you who have struggled to do so. Come not because I invite you, it is our Lord, it is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Be present, risen Lord Jesus, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread, for you live and reign with the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Now let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. That on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. And while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later on, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, and as you do, remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this fruit of the vine, ordinary things of the world, which God will make special, and we come to God with our prayers of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full of joy. These you deserve, O Lord. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we were lost or turned away, you did not abandon us. Back to you, your arms open wide in welcome. And you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, strengthened, not condemned, and made new again. And so we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, in Jesus Christ, you touch those who suffered. You listened to those who were ignored and gave those who were in distress something to hope for. You bandaged the broken with love and you healed them. We pray, Lord, as we come to this table, to your broken body and shed blood, to pray for the brokenness in the world, for those places across this world where there is war and turmoil, we pray. We pray for our own nation and for our leaders, that they may lead and govern with wisdom and compassion. We pray, O Lord, for those who have been brought to our attention in recent days through a meeting or a conversation. We pray for those who are in hospital, in another place of care, or a place which is strange to them. We pray for those whose family, marriage, or close relationship, there is stress or disruption. And we pray for those others whose love or need we should not forget to share with God this day. O Christ, put your hands where our prayers beckon. And as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, pour out your Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may know Christ's presence real and true. Make us one with him, one with each other, and one in ministry in the world, until at last we feast with him in the kingdom. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread, broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." Later he took the cup and said, "This is the new relationship with God that's made possible because of my death. Take this and drink." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. These are the gifts of God for the people. Share now, for all is prepared. Body of Christ broken for us. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for us. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, God, our Father, that through word and sacrament you have given us your Son, who is the true bread of heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service, that our daily living may show our thanks through Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand to sing verses 3 and 4 to conclude our service of "And Can It Be?" And then a blessing.
He left his fullness through. Jesus.
May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.